Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. Look like I didn't put an introduction in there. Amen. But, hey, y'all, I hope you can hear me. Reverend Robin, are you with us?
Hello, Reverend Ray. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Amen. I forgot to put an introduction in there, but we're going to go ahead and get started. Amen. I want to welcome everyone to When Christmas Week Talk Radio. This is the Bread of Life. Amen. Today, I'm joined by Reverend Robin White on this broadcast. We can continue on. We're just talking in general. We're going to finish up with Psalms 27. So this will be Psalm 27, Part 3. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody that His Savannah Grace and Mr. Blessed Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work of Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray is every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life for Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcast are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful, Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One, Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thomas is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Alston Green, Cleopas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell. Amen. It's every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayers are as follows. Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dollar number is 641-715-3580. That's code is 732-499. This is a free conference call number. Amen. Definitely call in and you'll be blessed. If you ever desire to reach out to us, you can do so by going to winchristianspeak@gmail.com. Or you can check us out on our different Facebook page of When Christians Speak on the website of whenchristianspeak.com. Amen. So that being said, let's go ahead and start in prayer. Father God, we just want to come today to give you thanks. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the things that you're doing in our life, God. We give you thanks in all that is happening all around us, God. We thank you and know that you love us so much that you was willing to give your son, Lord Jesus, give your son for us that he would die on the cross. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection. And we thank you, Jesus, for knowing that you're coming back for us one day. So we get this broadcast and pray that you would come and have your way. You allow everything to work the way it's supposed to work, God. You set the atmosphere, God. You bring forth the word, Lord Jesus, that will prick the hearts of men and women, that someone will cry out what must do to be saved, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, for those that are listening all across the different areas, different countries, God. You know their needs like no one else, God. We pray for whatever they need, God, that you would come and see about them, God, that you would come and show them favor and love. Where there's sickness, we pray for healing. Where there's lost hope, we pray for restoration, God. Whatever needs to be done, we pray to be done, God. We continue to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way in the world today with every Christian, God. We pray for even every pastor, every apostle, every bishop, every teacher, Lord Jesus, every evangelist, Lord Jesus, every clergy and musicians, God, that we a great return back unto you, Lord Jesus, that we might come running back unto you, Lord Jesus, our first love. We pray in the day, God, you would do it for your sake, God, for your name's sake, God, and that no glory be ascribed to anyone else but for you, Lord Jesus. So we're praying for the awakening. We're praying for those that are asleep to awaken. We're praying for those, Lord Jesus, that have lost their way to come back unto you, Lord Jesus. We're praying for those that have fallen short of the glory of you, God, to repent quickly and again come back to you, God. No matter what the situation might be, no matter who the pastor is or bishop, God, we're praying for the return unto you, Lord Jesus, that we might give you all the glory, that we might give you all the praise, God. That when you look at us, God, you see the reflection of yourself, Lord Jesus. We want to do right, Lord Jesus. We want to follow after the things of you. We want to have the mindset after you. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will have your way today. You know the hearts and minds of your people. You know the private prayers that don't know what else to know about except for you and them. We pray that you would come and rescue them. Begin to continue to knock, begin and continue to knock on the door. Whatever is needed to be done, God, we pray that you would do right now, Lord Jesus. We ask for forgiveness of any sins of we have committed, of sins of commissioning, and sense of omission, God. We give it over to you, for you paid the price, Lord Jesus, on the cross for it all. So it's already been done, so we just want to give it our hearts over to you, Lord Jesus. We want to be obedient in this time and the season that we live in, that we will follow after the ways of you, Lord Jesus, that we will not look to the north or to the south, or to the east or to the west, or from the left or to the right, but stay focused on the things of you in these trying days, Lord Jesus. For we know, Lord Jesus, that you are soon to come, and we want to hear you say, well done, that you've been faithful over a few things, Lord Jesus. So we know that you are soon to come. Establish us, Lord Jesus, to walk worthy of the vocation that we are called. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, to look to the hills from whence cometh our help, for our help coming from you. We give this prayer to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. Amen. This is the Bread of Life. Amen. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. I'm joined by Reverend Robin White. Amen. We can go ahead and get started. We're not going to be before you long. Amen. But we just wanted to close up on the things, and I'm not sure what Reverend Robin have something to share with us. I asked her to we can discuss anything she wants. I'm not sure. Do you have anything?
Well, I think for right now, Reverend Ray, we just need to finish up Psalm 27.
Yes, Reverend Robin. Yes, Reverend Robin. Okay, but I'm just checking because I want to make sure.
I'll jump in there, but we need to finish Psalm 27.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Psalm 27. Like I said, we had started this probably got a couple of broadcasts about ago, and basically we were just breaking it down and everything. And what I want to go back to do, I just want to read the Psalm to where we left off, and then we just go from there. Amen. Verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 2 says, "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and failed." Amen. "Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident." Amen. "One thing that I have," verse 4, "one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty and to inquire in his temple." Amen. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Amen. Wow. "And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." I will sing praises unto the Lord. Verse 7 says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not alone, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of my enemies. For false witness have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty, fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen our heart." And then he ends with, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." And that's verse 14. What an inspirational scripture a song here. There's many things that are going on. As to be talked about earlier, and I broke the scripture down and getting into other scriptures that tie into that. But here, those last verses, man, that sticks out and says, "Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage." And he says, "Strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In other words, if you didn't hear me the first time, let me repeat myself. Says, "Wait, you know, be of good courage." Why? Because God is the one that, verse 12, deliver me over unto the will of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. We know what the enemy has the desire to do to us, to kill and destroy, you know, to mess up our reputation, to false accuse us and everything. We know what he has a reputation to do. He said, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." When everybody else is all against us, when everybody else going the opposite direction, when everybody else turned their back on us, in this song, we know that God would take us up. You know, he would take us up, you know. And the thing is that, and I can see David writing, and this is more to me. This is like a prayer. Like, "Lord, don't hide your face from me, and don't put me away in anger. You know, I know that I might have messed up. I know that I might have did or said some things that I shouldn't do. But don't put me away, God. Please have mercy on me." He said, "Thou hast been my help. Don't leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." In other words, God, I have nowhere else to go. I have no one else can depend on me, that I can depend on, no one that I can look to and everything. You know, therefore, God, all I want to do is just seek your face. You know, you think about it, that family and friends go, jobs come and go, and situations come and go, but Lord, you are always there, you know. You are always there. You have always have mercy upon me. You're the one that answered my prayer. You're the one that came to my rescue. Even in my darkest hours, you were there. No matter if the psalmist said, "If I made my bed in hell," you were there. You were there. Where can I go? You know, Peter was, Jesus was trying to send the disciples away, and some had already went away because of, he was talking, I believe, Robbie, you can help me, he was talking about the eating of his flesh, and some said that this is a hard saying, and many of those that was following him went away, and Jesus asked the disciples, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said, "Where would I go? Where can I go? That, you have the words of life. Where can I go? Everything I need is you. You are the word. Where can I go? We can't go anywhere, nowhere else, and find the relationship, the love of Jesus Christ like that. You know, no other religion boasts about that intimacy that we can walk in the garden in the cool of the day with God. No other religion said that we can go behind the veil. No other religion says had the power to say those things, that we can have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus called us his friends, you know. We know who he is. We know that he's our Lord and our Savior, but he classified us as friends, man. Yeah. He classified us as friends. I'm going to go back to verse 3. It says, "And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about. Therefore, I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Sacrifices of joy. I'm going to sacrifice of joy and praise and worship him. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, because this is the Lord's work, and he's doing it marvelous. It's marvelous in his sight. When God does things for us, it's marvelous. You know, and everything. We are delivered out of terror, all kinds of trials. It's marvelous. You know, miracle after miracle after miracle has been performed all around her, and it's marvelous. Yeah, we might not see it all on TV, but it's marvelous. It's marvelous. You know, and so we want to be in a place where in that we are even while we are going through storms of life, we are constantly pushing forward and praising Him, and we are constantly pushing forward and re-examining ourselves and going to the throne of grace and praising Him and praying and rejoicing in Him and everything and watching for Him, you know, and sitting on the hind legs and watching see what God does next, because there's an expectation that we have when it comes to the things of Christ, man. There's an expectation that we have when it comes to the things of Christ, and we know that there is nothing too hard for Him to do. We know it, and we have seen it. Many of us have had miracles after miracles after miracles. We've seen it perform in our lives or those around us. How much more do we need to believe and trust that God will do exactly what He said it would do? You know, that we got to get to the point that we just trust Him and believe Him and hold on to Him, okay? Yeah, I just wonder if we should be in a place, especially with all that's going on with the virus, we should be in a place of not panicking about anything but seeking His face. You know, using wisdom, because you know, I know it was some controversy on my social media site about the wearing of masks. And I'm like, look, using wisdom, you know, don't discount this thing, but using wisdom, but still trusting and believing that God got us. We are safe in His arms. But He has built, remember earlier we talked about that hedge of protection. You know, He has built a hedge all around us. You know, we are in the defense city. You know, in the defense city, and of course it's not a literal wall, but the defense city is that relationship that we have with Him. That relationship we have with Him, that even when we miss it, we can still be still saved. Even when we mess up, we still have a right to come back to the tree of life, to come back to the throne and say, okay, God, I missed it, but I know, Lord Jesus, when you died on the cross, you died for it all. That I missed it, but you died for it all. Amen. It says again, I'm going back to Memphis, hide not that face from me. Don't put me away in anger. You have been my help. You have never, ever turn me down or let me go. You know, even when we feel alone, we know that we're not alone. You know, there has been some times here recently that I've been sort of like there's been a heaviness, and then I begin to think about not just what God has done for me, but I begin to think about the goodness and the mercy of our Lord. You know, and when we begin to think about His mercy, we begin to think about the fact that He loved us so much, you know, that all He wants for us to live and be in right relationship, and then those things go away, you know. Those things go away. Amen. It says, verse 13 says, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, you know, with all that's going on, I might have got tired. I might have been weary and well doing it and all that stuff, you know. But I began to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I began to see what God was doing. He opened up the veils of my eyes, and I began to get a glimpse of His promises and His yea and amen that He was doing. And that strengthened me, because that's what the Holy Spirit is when we become weak. It strengthens us. It encourages us and everything. When we begin to focus on the things of God, it encourages us to press forward. You know, don't be weary and well doing, to stay strong, you know, to keep on keeping on. Don't give up, but to hold on, to trust God, to believe God, to let it go, let it go, let it go. Let everything else go, but trust God. You know, to stay focused and everything. These are all words or sentences that's important in us as believers. You know, because we get attacked, you know, and along we in this world, Jesus said, you in this world, the world didn't love me, the world's not going to love you. So if it attacked Jesus, you know, and crucified Him, what do you think it's going to do to us? You know, but we have an advocate with the Father, man. We have someone that's interceding on our behalf, you know, and stuff like that. That we have our advocate, we have our lawyer, we have someone that we can depend on. That even when we're at our worst, he's right there bringing us back up again. You know, even when we're at our worst, he's right there saying that I said that you should live and not die. You know, he's speaking to us, whether it's through dreams or visions, you know, or through a sermon or through a song, or it might be through a dance, but he's speaking. He's speaking. I shared on social media today, and a young lady was talking about her, the city that she lived in, that she said that the city that she lived in, the weather is bipolar. And then she came back and she repented. She said, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. My reply to her, I said, well, the thing that you got to keep in, that the weather and the earth is speaking loud about the time and the season that we're living in now. You know, it's speaking. And my point is, are we listening, you know, to the Holy Spirit speak? Are we listening to the things that are going around speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ? You know, are we ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? You know, I want to make the, because I want us, one of the things that I did with the brothers last Sunday when we got together for the men's group, I wanted us to return back to the basics of who it is. Look, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the whole world. For the whole world. He didn't single nobody out, whether you were rich, whether you were poor, you know, whether you were black, but for the sins of the whole world. The only requirement is us to believe in him, you know, and accept him as Lord and Savior, and to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. That's it, you know. But he died, and sometimes I think that even with this, because right now I want to talk to those that are listening. Maybe you are backsliding, or maybe you are devil on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's right there for you, you know, even with not being necessarily being in the church, you know, because there have been a lot of people that I know of that got saved and accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord, and they weren't in the church. Some had just came from drinking and then carrying on, and they just reached a point that they didn't want to do or live their lifestyle anymore. And that's when they turned to Christ, and they've been serving him ever since. I give you Jesus. You know, this song, the Psalms 27, is a lot of prayer, a lot of worship, but the focus is getting back on him. The focus is worshiping him and trusting him and believing in him and not worrying. He's there for you wherever you are. You got your family members, whoever. Maybe you are sick right now and you're going through this whole virus, coronavirus thing, and you got some things that are failing. God is a healer. He's the balm in Gilead. You know, everything that was done on the cross, you know, to him, and it was for you. He's there for you today. You know, you don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to give up hope. He's right there. You know, he's the perfect person that can calm any storm. He's the perfect one that while you're going through the storm, allow you to go with it through the storm from a different perspective. You know, go through it a different way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's all I got, you know. But I wanted to
kind of add something. When you think of Psalms 27, okay. This is a place David comes, and I appreciate that you come forth to just say that even for those who may not know God or be in a place in which they want to move from. You see, when David is doing this Psalms 27, it's coming from a place where he knows he's in a covenant relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes and he brings God's words back to him in prayer, in worship, and he's recognizing who God is, you know. And he says here in verse 8, and when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, so he's in this place of a relationship with God, knowing that, you know, it didn't say that he was going through any good times here. You know, his enemies were after him. You know, he's running for his life. You know, it says even when his mother and father forsake him, then the Lord will take me up. It says, so when we are at a place and we know, and this is one of the, you know, when we come in now, even now, to say the good news, the gospel, is that when you have Jesus Christ and you're in a covenant relationship with him, it doesn't matter if you have not been a covenant keeper, because the person that you are in covenant with, the Almighty God, is a covenant keeper.
Right.
So that even when we fall short, even when we don't go forth and do all in which we should do, yet he upholds his part in the covenant for us. Yet will he come and rescue us out of a situation we may find ourselves in. Yet will he come and heal us, because he is a God of healing. And yes, he will come forth and he will do that. Yes, he will come forth and he will strengthen us. He will encourage us. He will turn us unto him. He will draw upon us, and he will pull upon our heartstrings, and he will cause us to turn around and see him, because it's a place of a covenant. And when you're in a covenant with God, God is a covenant-keeping God. So I know Reverend Ray mentioned that if you're not where you are, maybe in a backslidden state, all he says here is, he says, seek my face.
Yeah.
And you will find him. You see, because he has not left his place in the covenant that he's made. He is not the one who moves away from covenant. We are the ones who move away from covenant. But when we turn right back unto him, he is still standing firm on who he is. He is still standing firm of being faithful, being just, being merciful, being righteous, being holy. You know, he's our buckler. He's our shield. He's our high tower. He is our advocate. He yet remains steadfast in his position. So that's why when David can come to this, for he knows all of this is going on, but I know who I am in covenant with. Let me take my petition and my prayer and worship before him and see him move. Because you know what? He will move. Because he is a covenant-keeping God. He is always a covenant-keeping God. And he is not like man. He is not keeping a tally on where you missed it, where you fell down, where you didn't pray that night, you know, where you didn't seek him. He's not that. He is not man. You know, and a lot of times we cannot approach him in that sense. He is a holy God. He cannot go against his word. You know, if he has said that you are his child and he has chosen you, then you are his child and he has chosen you, and he loves you. And all he says, it is always remained the same, repent and turn. And return unto him, and he will be there for us. That is the good news. That is the good news that we have with the gospel. The good news is that we have someone who is our comforter. We have someone who is our protector. We have someone who has thoughts of good towards us and not evil, who has an expected end for us. That's who we have. We have that in God. And he does not move. We move. So if we find ourselves in a place, you know, I know Reverend Ray said had a place of heaviness, but he knew who to turn to, and when you turn to him, that heaviness lifts.
That's right.
It lifts, because that's not a place, that's not an expected end that he has for us.
Right.
That's not the expected end that God has for us. So he will always lead and guide us towards the expected end in him. And that is the blessed place, is that when he comes here in verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. I say, wait on the Lord. Because truly, if we get ourselves still enough and sit down and come boldly before him with our petitions, knowing who we are in him, knowing that we are men and he has empowered us with his spirit, and we just go and we sit and we wait upon him, we can boldly, and I like that, it's that he says, You know, David in here can boldly bring all of these petitions before the Lord. He can boldly come because he knows who he is. He knows the covenant that he has with God, you know, and that is the same way with us, that no matter where we are, Jesus knows. And because we coming in under Jesus, Jesus knows. In Hebrews 4:15-16, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." I mean, that's where we have to come to, that place where we are just bold and confident in our relationship with God and who our God is, and to know that he has chosen us. We didn't choose him, but he has chosen us. And he is not a man that he should lie, but he is God. And as God, he must stand on his word. He must.
Yes,
he cannot go against his word unto us. He cannot. As the same way is that he cannot let gravity go. He cannot. He sustains us all. He is God. And we cannot think of God in terms of how we may think of a man, you know, is where we've missed it and then we feel we can't go back. No, we go back and it's just like the prodigal son. He is in that same place looking for you. Exactly where the prodigal son left his father, that's where his father was, right there waiting for him to return.
Yeah.
And that is the same thing with our father. That's the same thing with God. Right where you may have left him, he is right there at the
right
same
there.
Point, looking up, looking out. And then it's like one of the very few, I think it's like the only scripture where it says he ran to meet him.
He ran.
I mean, because that's how we just got to be bold. Bring your petitions before God with boldness. Bring our petitions in knowing if we bring in back the petitions that are based in his word, of his word that can never return void unto him, if we come with our petitions asking for forgiveness, asking for mercy, asking for grace, he has to because he's God. He cannot let his word fall. But it just says wait on the Lord. I know you're coming. Don't know how you're going to come. Don't know how you're going to do it. I know you're coming. So I'm going to wait on you because you have an expected end for me, because you've told me you have an expected end for me. And I know you're coming. That is one that is for good and not for evil. I know you're coming. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to wait because you are God and you are God all by yourself. You are God and you cannot let your word fall. You are God and your word will not return unto you void, but your word will go forth and fulfill everything that it's been sent out to fulfill. So that means every word that you've given to me for my life, which is in this word, which I have read, these promises of what you have said that are unto your people, and I am your people, and I am giving this word back to you, and I have an expectancy that it will return in the fullness and it will not be void. So it's just because he cannot. That's what makes him God, because he cannot let his word fall short. And that is a place of comfort that we can all have, knowing that he is God, knowing that he is true to his word, knowing that he is faithful, knowing that he is just, knowing that he is merciful, not only merciful, but has loving, tender mercies towards us. Knowing all of this, that he says, just repent and turn unto me. Just repent and seek my face. Just come unto me and know, and, you know, come to him with a faith in knowing in who he is. Come in faith, in believing, and knowing that you are. I mean, this is a place that David came from. David came from a place of knowing the covenant that he had with God. And we have to come to that place and knowing the covenant that we have with God. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And amen. I thank you, Reverend Robin. And again, we want to say for those that don't, you can have this too. You know, God has no respect to person. You know, he has no respect. This is for you too. If you never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can have this too. Okay? This is for you. Okay? You know, Psalms 27. There, you know, as I begin to study and read through, there's a lot of things that's going on, as Robert has already mentioned, amen, and stuff. And we just, it goes right to that relationship. Christ, and that's what Christ, that's what he wants for us. He wants us to, he's there with open arms, stretch wide open for all of us. You know, but there has to come the time that a choice has to be made. Choose today whom you will serve. You know, choose today. But his covenant is strong. He's never broken a covenant. You know, but we break covenants through our time. But God's still there. It's like, hey, I'm here. I'm right here. Okay. I know that there, and the reason why Psalm 27 is important, because there's a lot of people that are going through, that are suffering right now, and there are many people that are not even believers that are looking for answers. Jesus is the way. This is not dealing with religion, you know, none of that kind of stuff. This is dealing with the basic of the cross of why Jesus died. He died on the cross for you. You know, so when I begin to feel a certain way, I begin to remember the purpose of the cross and the passion of the cross, you know, that I can live. We can live, you know, we can face whatever obstacles that comes up against us. In this world, we're going to have trials and tribulation. We know that. The Bible says that it rains on the just as well as to do the unjust. We already know those things. But wouldn't it be better if we have Christ with us, that so that where we get weak, he makes us strong? You know, even when we don't want to do anything, he's the one that makes us strong. Read Psalm 27 for yourself. Begin to pick up those things for yourself. Ask God to begin to reveal. There's more in Psalm 20. There's more in the Bible than we haven't even touched. Reverend Robin and myself, we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg. Not even an inch of the iceberg. Less than that, probably. There's more stuff in there for us. There's more things in there that's for the people of God to encourage ourselves. But then after we encourage ourselves, to encourage our brothers. And then tell someone about, look, this is what, then it becomes a testimony. This is what God did for me. This is what he did for me. You know, he made a way out of no way. This is what he did for me. I had to go to court. They was about to throw the book at me, but the judge decided, don't worry about it. I'm dropping all charges. This is what God did for me. When I was sick to a point where the doctors has given up on me, and everything, a miracle happened, and it astounded the medical people to a point that they don't know how it happened. It just, whatever the disease was, it just completely went away. This is what God did. God did it. People that have been cured of and healed of cancer and cured and healed of AIDS and different diseases, and people that have, God had just completely, was alcoholic, and he took even the taste of alcohol out of their mouth, or the taste of cigarette out of their mouth, and made them a vessel to be used mightily by him. This is what our God does, you know. This is what he does. This is what he does. And we want to be continually giving him the praise and the honor that he's due. You know, we want to continue to let our mouthpiece declare the wondrous works of the Lord. Declare our testimony of how far that he has brought us, no matter what. You know, because we never know who's listening all around us. We don't know who's listening. As believers, we are not into, we should not be into backbiting and all the other stuff that we see that's going on. And Christ is not involved with that mess. But we should be loving one another. You know, we should be loving each other. You know, we should be uplifting each other. We should be encouraging each other and stuff. We should be upholding each other. We should be interceding for each other. We should be praying Psalms 27 for each other. We should be doing those things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got anything else, Reverend?
All that I have right now is that this is a time in which God is drawing us nigh unto Him.
Yeah.
Right now, it is in Him and Him alone who we need to trust.
Yeah.
And He is drawing man unto Him. He is showing man that you don't have it all. You don't have answers. Mm. You don't have control. You don't have it. I mean, He has shut everything down.
Everything.
You know, so you have no choice but to look at Him. Not only to look at Him, but God wants to be recognized and acknowledged. There are too many people trying to put themselves above God. And God has come and showed, no, I'm God.
Hmm.
This is my earth. This is my world.
Right.
You know, this is my creation. You know? And we just have to look towards Him.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize Him in the beauty of His holiness and the purity of His truth, in His sovereignty, in His authority, in His being the creator. We just have to get to a point where we humble ourselves and recognize that He is God. He is God. The earth shall proclaim that He is God. And that is all. We are created to worship Him. We are created to be in relationship with Him. That's where we have to be. You know, we can't be in relationship with just ourselves. It's so much self.
Right.
But we don't control whether or not we live the next minute. He is the one who is in control. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows not only our uprising, but He knows our downsetting. I mean, that's the most important person there is in your life who controls all of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all, you know, so much is happening. But irregardless of what is happening in the world, we need to just keep our focus upon Him.
Yeah.
To give an analogy would be to use Peter when they were out on the water. And he said Jesus to bid him, and Jesus says, come. And he was fine as long as he kept his focus on God. But when the lightning and, you know, the world and everything comes in and it's trying to get your attention, you have to say, but I'm going to focus on God because He says for me to come. And so I'm just going to keep walking into Him and allow Him to take care of all of these things that are happening around me. I'll allow Him to take care of this COVID. I'm going to allow Him to take care of my job. I'm going to allow Him to take care of my home. I'm going to allow Him to be my provider. I'm going to allow that He has the final word in my life. I'm going to allow, trust, and believe in the fact that His thoughts of me are for good and not evil and for an expected end. And that is where my mind is going to stay. That's where my focus is going to stay. My focus has to stay on God. And, yes, are there going to be things to come and try to pull you away? Yes. There always will be. But yet and still, just clear the air and just see God right there with His outstretched hand saying, come. And you and me and all of us as His children will just continue to walk on uncertain ground. We will continue to walk. And I had gotten, and it's something that I posted all around in my room, in my bathroom, everything. And it says that you can trust in an unknown future, an uncertain and unknown future, to a certain God. So as long as I know I can look around and nothing is for sure, everything seems uncertain, nothing is for sure, but I know that I don't need to be afraid to trust an unknown future to an all-knowing God. So it may not be a certainty of what I may know, things I don't know. Can't look beyond right now, you know, because we don't know. These are uncertain times. These are unprecedented times, and we don't know the future. But what we do know is an all-knowing God who knows each and every one of us. So yeah. I can trust this unknown future, this future that, you know, what we're looking at now is, you know, it's enough that sometimes we'll try to put fear in you, but we can trust and know that that fear is not of God, so we can cast that down. But we know that I can trust my future to an all-knowing God, even if it seems uncertain now and I don't know what it's going to be next week. But I know that the God that I love, the God that I trust, the God that chose me, he is an all-knowing God, and he has already made proclamations for my life. So if he's made the proclamations for my life, I don't have to concentrate on what the world is saying. I concentrate on his word, because his word will never fall short.
Yeah.
Word will never return void. If you're listening, you're trusting to this government, they changing their word every other minute. But God's word will never change, and it will never return void, and it shall go forth and do all that he has sent it out to do. So therefore, I keep going, walking in this unknown future, because I'm walking on the word of an all-knowing God who has said, just come and keep walking. And that's what we need, just keep walking to that all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign, the one who has the full authority. I am going to keep walking towards him, and I'm not going to be pulled and tossed and turned by all of the other uncertainties, because there is nothing that is uncertain with our God. Nothing. He knows all things. This didn't come to him as a surprise. He knows all things, and he is the only one who knows the future. So therefore, I put my trust in the one who knows all things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and close out here. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed the broadcast. I do ask you that you share it, you know, and listen to it over and over again. Amen. It's like this has been part three of Understanding Psalms 27. I encourage you to go back and listen to the other parts of it. There's a lot of information that was given out. I know I was blessed. And I just want to again thank Reverend Robin for allowing me to tag her in this, you know, and everything like that. But we're going to go ahead and close up in prayer. I just want to remind everybody that just everything we say is stay focused. You know, this thing is not over. I believe that it's not going to get better anytime soon. So, but I just believe me to stay focused on God, okay? Trust God, trust him, and believe him. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask Reverend Robin to close us out in prayer, or any last words that you have. It's okay. We'll leave out from there.
Bless the Lord. I just thank God for his faithfulness. I just thank God that he's chosen me, and that I have a safe haven. And we all have that option of having a safe haven in him. So if you don't have a safe haven and you need a safe haven, Jesus is the doorway that gets you into that safe haven. And all we have to do is to believe and accept in him, and we can get to that place of safety, and we can sit and we can rest and enter into his peace. And I thank God for that. I thank him for his peace, not my peace. But I thank him that the part of the good news of the gospel is that I can enter into a peace that surpasses my own understanding, because that peace is in Christ Jesus. He is the opening. He says he is the door. We just enter in, and that is a place where we can go in and have refuge and have safety, and I thank him for that. So we come right now in the name of Christ Jesus, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be your children, Lord God. We come right now, Lord God, and we recognize you as the creator. We recognize you as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We recognize you as being sovereign. We recognize you as being the one who is in charge and who has the full control. And, Father, we come and we thank you, Lord God, that you chose mere men, Lord God, to empower us, Lord God, to bring the heaven down to the earth, Lord God. So we come right now with our petitions before you right now, Lord God. We come, Lord God, and we're beseeching your tender love and mercies, Lord God. We are coming and beseeching, Lord God, that you will come and see about us. We come beseeching you, Lord God, and bringing unto your attention the affairs of this earth, Lord God, and asking, Lord God, that you will come in and intervene, Lord God, on the behalf of the inhabitants of this earth, Lord God. We come, Lord God, and we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, that you would send an outpouring of your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding, and that you would pour it into the one or the how many that you have already chosen, Lord God, that you would place the wisdom for this time, for the answers that it needs. So I just pray, Lord God, that you would release it from heaven, Lord God, and let it be spread upon the earth to those whom you have chosen to impart that wisdom into, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you right now. We thank you in advance, Lord God, that this plague shall be stayed, Lord God. We don't want to continue to listen to the reports, Lord God, because you can come and change those reports right now today. You can come forth right now, Lord God, with your healing. You can come forth right now, Lord God, with the treatment. So, Father, we're not going to listen, Lord God, to the doomsday and all of those things, Lord God. But we come right now, Lord God, and we just lift up your word unto you, your words of healing, Lord God, your words of hope, Lord God, your words, Lord God, of encouragement, Lord God. Father, your words that you are the one, who the sole one, who that we can turn to for help and who can come and help immediately, Lord God. So, Father, we just look unto you. We look unto the hills from which cometh our help, for we know that our help cometh soon from you. And this, too, that we are experiencing now, it shall cease and desist, and it shall not continue to go forth, but it shall pass. And, Father, that it will pass, finding more of your people with a heart turned towards you, that you will find us, Lord God, seeking you, Lord God, seeking your face, Lord God, seeking to serve you, seeking to know you even the more, seeking, Lord God, and recognizing you as God, as God of all things, Lord God, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are King of kings and you are Lord of lords, and you truly are the one who is the sole creator and in control. So, Father, we thank you right now for all that you are doing in this earth, Lord God, that it shall be manifest and we shall see it in the name of Christ Jesus. And we shall give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It is in the name of Christ Jesus that we do pray and say amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. Again, you've been listening to Witness Speed Talk Radio. Today's segment has been The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray, and Reverend Robin White has joined me. Our topic has been Understanding Psalms 27. This has been part three. Amen. I pray that you have a blessed and good night's sleep for the rest of the night. Amen. And stay safe out there. Know that God loves you more than anything. Amen. Y'all have a good one. Thanks again, Reverend Robin. Bye.